When the door was closed, Dinky once more grasped the knob. There was another brisk snap.
"You just locked it again," Jake said. He sounded accusing, but there was a smile on his face, and the color was coming back into his cheeks.
"Didn't you?"
"Not now, please," said the white-haired man, Ted. "No time. Follow me, please."
He flipped up a section of the counter and led them through. Behind it was an office area containing two robots that looked long dead and three skeletons.
"Why the hell do we keep finding bones?" Eddie asked.
Like Jake, he was feeling better and only thinking out loud, not really expecting an answer. He got one, however, from Ted.
"Do you know of the Crimson King, young man? You do, of course, you do. I believe that at one time he covered this entire part of the world with poison gas. Probably for a lark. Killed almost everyone. The darkness, you see, is the lingering result. He's mad, of course. It's a large part of the problem. In here."
He led them through a door marked private, and into a room that had once probably belonged to a high poobah in the wonderful world of shipping and lading. Susanna saw tracks on the floor suggesting that this place had been visited recently, perhaps by these same three men. There was a desk beneath 6 inches of fluffy dust, plus two chairs and a couch. Behind the desk was a window. Once it had been covered with Venetian blinds, but these had collapsed onto the floor, revealing a vista as forbidding as it was fascinating. The land beyond Thunderclap Station reminded her of the flat, deserty wastes on the far side of the River Huai, but rockier and even more forbidding. And of course, it was darker. Tracks, eternally halted trains, sat on some of them, radiated out like strands of a steel spiderweb. Above them, a sky of darkest slate gray seemed to sag almost close enough to touch.